Hello, you're listening to Microbe Talk, the podcast from the Microbiology Society. Today I'm going to be speaking to Lily Purser, PhD student at the University of Leicester. Lily presented her research at the Microbiology Society's annual conference this year, and I caught up with her to find out more about her work on the interactions between bacteria and air pollution, and how this could affect the respiratory disease COPD, or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease.
My name is Lily Purser. I'm in my third year of my PhD in Julie Morrissey's group at the University of Leicester, and my PhD research focuses on how air pollution impacts the lung microbiome in the context of chronic respiratory disease, specifically COPD, and we're looking at how air pollution will affect the rates of infection-induced exacerbations of COPD. So there are specific bacteria which we know are associated with COPD and when people get flare-ups of their symptoms. And we want to know how air pollution is affecting that, because air pollution is one of the causes of COPD worldwide.
Can you tell us a little more about what COPD is?
The way I always describe it to people is to say, you know, COPD is a progressive and life-threatening disease. It's characterized by a specific set of symptoms. So breathlessness, increased mucus production, wheezing, and it really does have quite a significant impact on your life. It's progressive and there's no cure. So once you've been diagnosed, really all you can do is have treatments to help you manage your symptoms when they appear. Yeah, like I said, there's no cure, so those symptoms just get progressively worse.
And how common is it in the population?
It's actually really common. By 2030, the World Health Organization have predicted that it will be the third leading cause of death. It was in 2015 that COPD accounted for 5% of deaths worldwide. So it is really, really common. It's mainly in lower income countries that it's such a big problem because of the increased amounts of air pollution, smoking, etc. But it is a problem everywhere.
And how are bacteria involved in this disease?
Yeah, so in COPD patients, when they're having an exacerbation, there are free bacteria which are found in like up to 60% of those patients when they are sampled in the hospital. And that is Haemophilus influenzae, Moraxella catarrhalis, and Streptococcus pneumoniae. Obviously, we already know that Streptococcus is being affected by the particulate matter from our previous work, but Moraxella and Haemophilus are gram-negative bacteria, whereas Streptococcus is a gram-positive. So we didn't know if the interactions were going to be the same, which is why my research focuses on those now.
What does pollution have to do with COPD?
There are several different types of pollution, as I'm sure kind of everyone knows. What we focus on specifically is the particulate matter air pollution. So these are like the physical particles that are so tiny that you can't see them, but you are breathing them in. And we have a model that we use for that, which is black carbon. In the first paper that our group had come out on this work, Shane Hussey, who did his PhD on this, showed how the interaction of particulate matter with specific respiratory bacteria. So he looked at Staphylococcus aureus and Streptococcus pneumoniae, and he showed that the particles are interacting with the bacteria in such a way that it changes their biofilm development, that can change their tolerance to different types of antibiotics when they are existing in a biofilm. It changes the way that bacteria will disseminate from the nasopharynx down into the lungs, which is obviously very important if an infection is going to take place. That was all done in a mouse model. There are other types of pollution, and I'm sure other people are researching them, but what our group specifically focuses on is this particulate matter, because that's what we don't know, whether it is doing anything to bacteria. We know that when the bacteria are exposed to black carbon, our model of particulate matter, they change the way they form a biofilm. So there are some really quite striking pictures in Shane's paper of the Streptococcus pneumoniae biofilm, where when the black carbon is there, they completely change their biofilm structure. It goes from being quite a uniform mat of bacteria to kind of what we describe as a lacy biofilm. There are clear channels that are being formed in this biofilm, and they're incorporating the black carbon particles into their biofilm. So obviously having such a different structure is going to change the way they respond to environmental stress, antibiotics, and we did see that they can have like a lessened tolerance for antibiotics or heightened tolerance for antibiotics, depending on the way that this black carbon changes the biofilm formation. So that was really the big finding from Shane's paper. My work is kind of continuing on from this, looking at bacteria which are more relevant to chronic respiratory disease. So I specifically look at non-typeable Haemophilus influenzae and Moroxella catarrhalis. So I can say that I'm looking at the biofilms the same as Shane did, using the same techniques, and I am seeing differences with when the black carbon is introduced into these models, which is really exciting.
And what do your experiments involve? Are you using mouse models like Shane?
A lot of my experiments are first trying to characterise the way the specific bacteria I'm interested in are affected by air pollution just on their own, no human cells involved at all. And then once I've got a better idea of what's happening there, I'll do specific like infection experiments, look at biofilm formation. Cell culture is something that I didn't expect to be such a big part of my PhD. So when I got to learn that skill and I realised that I really enjoyed it, that was a lovely surprise, really. Some people in our group have used mice models in the past, really varied throughout our group, but my research specifically, really cell culture heavy.
We'll be back after this short message from Matt.
The Society has launched its first fundraising initiative to help members to progress and to reach their full career potential. The fundraising appeal will generate funds to underwrite a new grant, known as the Unlocking Potential Grant. The Unlocking Potential Fund will be available to early and mid-career members who may require an extra level of support to help them deal with a situation that threatens to hold them back from achieving what they could. Everyone faces a career challenge at some stage. Even knowing which career step to take next can be difficult to navigate. Help support the microbiologists of the future, who might in turn one day provide solutions to global challenges and help them reach their full career potential. Visit microbiologysociety.org/unlockingpotentialfund to find out more.
Could you tell us a little more about the group you're a part of? Does everyone work on COPD?
No, I'm the only person who focuses on COPD. So our group is run by Julie Morrissey, Professor Julie Morrissey, and her group has always focused on different types of environmental contaminants. So we have a few members of our group who work on copper in the environment and how that affects Staphylococcus aureus specifically. And then we have the more air pollution side. So we're all microbiology. We're just, yeah, we've all kind of got our own bacteria that we work on, and then we use very similar techniques and models to explore how those bacteria are being affected by the different types of pollution. We're all focusing on black carbon, but in different contexts. So we have a postdoc called Jo. She's focusing more on continuing Shane's work on Staphylococcus aureus and black carbon. We have some people who do some more environmentally type stuff, which I can't say anything about because it's imminently, hopefully, going to be published soon. And yeah, and then kind of a mix between metal pollution and air pollution work, where we're now crossing over our different interests. So yeah, I'm the only COPD person, but we do all work very closely together.
And did you do your undergraduate degree at the University of Leicester also?
I did my undergraduate in biology at the University of Portsmouth. I went to Portsmouth free clearing. I had a great experience there. Their biology department is really great. And in my second year, I found kind of a love for microbiology. One, due to my great lecturer, Professor Joy Watts. She was fantastic and so helpful to me in getting to where I am now. And then two, I read the book I Contain Multitudes by Ed Young, and just everything about the microbiome in that just fascinated me. So I went on a mission to find a PhD project looking at the microbiome in some capacity. I didn't mind whether it was the gut microbiome, the skin microbiome. I just found that aspect of microbiology fascinating. So then in my third year, I did a project with Joy Watts for my dissertation. I found this PhD opportunity and applied and I got it. And I didn't expect to. I was looking for master's programs and stuff just in case.
From talking to you, it sounds like you have quite a passion for research. Is it something that you hope to continue with?
Yeah. I have got lots of ideas of things that I would love to do, and I just need the lab space and funding to do it, hopefully one day. But I've got to finish my PhD first.
So, Lily, you presented your research during a poster presentation at the Microbiology Society's annual conference online 2021. How did it go? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was really good. I enjoy poster sessions, and this is the first poster session I ever got to do at a big conference. So I've always been internal before. So yeah, I really enjoyed it, and it's just nice to see people being interested in this research, and people are always quite curious because I think it's something that they haven't really heard of before. And everyone always asks me a lot of questions about the air pollution, which obviously is the part I know the least about. I'm a microbiologist primarily, and I'm learning the chemistry of the air pollution as I go.
Probably not going to like me very much my next question then. I was going to ask, so black carbon is quite a common pollutant. Is it mostly produced by petrol fuels or car fuel or cigarette smoking, everything?
Kind of a bit of everything, actually. The main reservoirs of these pollution now is, as you might expect, like vehicles. Not just exhaust fumes, though. Actually, the brakes and the tyre wear of vehicles is one of the main parts that produces pollution now, because obviously there's such strict regulations on exhaust fumes these days. We now have to worry about the different types of pollutants coming from different parts of the car. And obviously you've got industrial processes, farming, all of the usual suspects for air pollution will produce different types of particulate matter. Black carbon is produced in a lot of these situations, but it's more of a mix of pollution in the environment. And black carbon is what we use as a model in the lab, because it would be really hard to make nice reproducible results with different environmental samples, because you would get different types of pollution every single day.
Yeah, completely. You know, like the school run pollution is probably different to the motorway pollution.
Exactly.
And the black carbon that you're using in the lab in your experiments, where does that come from?
We just buy it from Sigma. They produce it. I'm not really sure what else it's used for. I can't imagine it's a very common lab reagent, but yeah, we just buy it from Sigma, so we know that we are using the same thing each time.
You mentioned that COPD is a lot more common in lower income countries. Is that because there are generally higher levels of pollution?
Yeah, higher levels of pollution, in some cases higher levels of smoking, but it's mainly the sorts of jobs that people might be in those countries. If they're working in factories, for example, that have a lot of pollutants, they're going to be a lot more exposed to the effects of air pollution. And while cigarette smoke is the main risk factor for developing COPD, air pollution isn't far behind it. So a combination of all of those factors together means that, yeah, if you're working in a factory smoking, you're much more likely to get COPD at some point in your life.
And that is all we have time for this month. I hope you've enjoyed the episode, and a huge thank you to Lily for taking the time to speak with me for the podcast. I can't wait to see what you do in the future. I will leave a link to Lily's Twitter profile in the podcast description below. Make sure to follow her for updates on her research. And please do visit our website to find out more about the Microbiology Society's Unlocking Potential Fund. It really does have the potential to make a huge difference to so many microbiologists. I've been Laura, and thank you for listening to Microbe Talk.